Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is the Old Testament lesson from the book of Ruth, especially these verses. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. So far the text. Please be seated. Before we get going today, I have just a quick little decorating job here. I never knew before about summertime or spring last year. I guess it was spring. What bunting was. Do you know what bunting is? Andrea told me one evening, I think I'm going to make bunting. And I thought, is that a cake? I don't know what that is. But this is bunting. And forgive me for taking just a minute here and decorating. But of course, the church is already nicely decorated, and I don't by any means wish to disparage that. But you just can't argue with bunting sometimes. We use this to celebrate birthdays. We use it to celebrate holidays. Today I put it up as an object lesson, as a metaphor, to which I will return in a couple of minutes. But for now, bunting. Who knew? Thanksgiving is a nice weekend, isn't it? It's good to gather. It's good to have family time. It's good to feast. Despite the cold weather outside today, as you have noticed, I'm sure, Thanksgiving is a warm time of celebrating all that's good in our lives. And so, hence the bunting, hence the celebration. There is much to be thankful for, and this is usually how our Thanksgiving messages go. Today, this is about celebrating, and yet it's more than just celebrating. Today, I would like to invite you to think about Thanksgiving in the face of all that gets us down, all that causes us to perhaps refrain from celebrating. This is not just about thankfulness. This is about persistent, tenacious thankfulness. This is about celebrating in the face of hopelessness. This is about Naomi. Naomi. I know it's called Ruth, the book of the Bible, but this is really Naomi's story, isn't it? Naomi's story is heartrending. If you didn't have tears welling up in your eyes, I suggest you read slower. Naomi's story is one of complete and utter loss. Did you catch that? Not only was there a famine in her homeland, which made her and her family have to leave, they became refugees, crossing a border, taking up residence in a foreign land. Not only did that happen, but then upon arrival in this new foreign land, picture yourself there, by the way, a refugee, perhaps unable to speak the language, perhaps unable to support yourself, and there, upon your arrival, your husband, your provider, the one who has been leading your expedition, dies. Of course, that's not the only loss in Naomi's life. Besides the loss of her security, of her livelihood, besides the loss of her own close nuclear family, she also loses her two sons, their relationships. And along with it, all hope for a kind of life which would be in any way meaningful. As a widow with daughters-in-law, she faced a pretty grim outlook. Now, there are widows here, and there are also those who haven't ever married. And our perspectives as a single woman, I say our, but your, are quite different from back then. If you were to be a widowed mother of two dead sons back then, you would wonder how you would eat. And so, Naomi's plight is one of bitterness. In fact, we didn't quite get there. We didn't quite get far enough in the reading. But if you read just a few verses later, when they come to Bethlehem, back to her hometown after a decade or more away, and Naomi's friends and relatives recognize her, they say, "Look, isn't this Naomi? She's back." And she says, "No, it's not Naomi. Don't call me Naomi." By the way, Naomi, the name, means pleasant. Pleasant. "Don't call me pleasant," she says. "Call me Mara." Bitter. Bitter. "For the Lord has given me a bitter cup to drink." Oh, if that's not bracing and refreshing today, if it's not heartrending and emotional today, I suggest you read it slower and again. By the way, the book of Ruth is actually a really exciting book. It gets better than this. It has a good ending. It's actually a really easy read, and one that I would suggest might even fit with our Thanksgiving celebrations today. It takes about 20 minutes to read the book of Ruth, and I want to invite you to finish the book. Read on, in other words. Find out what happens to Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. This is about persistent thankfulness. This is about the kind of thanksgiving which, even in the face of absolute and utter despair, chooses resiliently to say, "Praise be to the Lord." After the loss of our third pregnancy back in 2007, we had had three miscarriages. If someone had told me, "You know what, we have so much to be thankful for," I think I would have punched them in the face. If someone had come up to Naomi as she entered Bethlehem and said, "Naomi, look, the fields are growing again. We have so much to be thankful for," she probably would have looked at them with a vacant stare. And I wonder what sort of hurt and loss you're also hiding beneath that beautiful and rosy, festive outfit. I wonder what sort of tenacious, hopeful thanksgiving you're trying to muster today. You see, Naomi's bitterness makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Who other than God could be blamed for her losses? Who other than God was responsible for the death of her husband and her two sons? Of course, it seems politically incorrect, or maybe religiously incorrect, to question and to doubt, to voice our anger and our displeasure with God himself, as Naomi does. And yet, it's honest. And so, I consider it to be permissible. You go ahead and tell God just exactly how upset with him you are about whatever it is. Perhaps you're dealing with a loss that has already happened. Perhaps you're facing an outlook which is grim. You go ahead and tell God, even in the midst of your festive celebrations, how you really feel. He can take it. I learned a prayer after our third miscarriage that has stuck with me. In that moment of wondering whether I would ever have children, I heard the voice of Jesus say, "What if you don't? Will I be enough?" I sang, as you did, "All of you is more than enough." Can you say that honestly? If you have no food, if you have nothing? Can you say that honestly if you're out on the street in the snowstorm in the night and you have nowhere to return to? Can you say that honestly if you lose your family? "All of you is more than enough, Lord Jesus." That was a difficult prayer to learn. But it was shortly after I learned it that we discovered again that we were pregnant for the fourth time, and then that Kara was born. We rejoiced in thanksgiving easily enough then, and I suspect that your story of redemption could be equally as powerful. We carry these loads, don't we? We carry these heavy burdens. Just as Naomi carried hers, you carry yours. I want to invite you today, with whatever you're carrying, to hear the words of Ruth. Because Ruth here plays the Jesus figure, doesn't she? Ruth is the one who, by her faithfulness, by her declaration of steadfast, abiding friendship, Ruth is the one who reminds us of the love of God. "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you," she says to Naomi. "Do not send me away." Can you hear Jesus' voice in these words? "For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge." Do you hear him? "Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." This is the voice of our Savior who came to be among his people, to live and suffer and die as one of us. This is the voice of our Savior. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge." I was on my way home from Camrose this past Monday night. I'd had a pretty tiring day. We've been teaching Andrea and I a course in Camrose at CLBI on Monday nights, and it's exhausting. It's a late night course. And actually, on Monday, Andrea was quite tired as well, and so she didn't come. I was on my own on Monday night. And I was returning from Camrose. It's about an hour drive, and I was at about 10:30 at night. Now, I was feeling about as low as I get in terms of energy and mood. I was feeling like, why am I doing this? And I wonder if you felt that recently. And you know, as I drove, actually between Camrose and here, there's quite a nice dark area. There's a lot of road where there aren't any streetlights and there's no towns around, so it's beautiful and dark. And I noticed something in the sky. And then I realized it was aurora. And so I stopped, and I got out for a couple of minutes, and it was actually, you know, I've seen aurora before, but it was the most spectacular aurora. I don't know if anyone was out on Monday night, but it was more than just your average sort of in the distance on the horizon. It was just everywhere. And it wasn't just green, but it was pink and purple as well, and it was coming completely down all around. I can't even really put words to it, but in the midst of the darkness, there was a rain of light. And I was reminded that where I go, he goes, even before and after. Where we go, our Savior comes, leading and abiding with us. It doesn't make the bitterness less bitter. It doesn't make the pain less painful. But it does keep us company, and it does remind us that our pain will never exceed his, and that he hurts right along with us. Dear friends, today as we celebrate the Feast of Thanksgiving, as we feast today and tomorrow, I invite you to be honest, to be completely honest with God, to pray that prayer, "All of you is more than enough." In whatever circumstance you find yourself today, may you hear the voice of your Savior saying, "Where you go, I will go." That persistent, tenacious allegiance that Jesus has made with you. That persistent, tenacious love that he has promised to never cease loving you with. And may you be reminded, just as I was reminded on Monday night, that sometimes even in the midst of the darkness, there is a rain of light which can invite your thanksgiving to come from a deep and natural and honest place. May the peace of worshiping our Savior together continue to lead us forward for his glory. Amen.